together. If you're joining us online, thanks for taking the time to join us. We believe God is going to speak to you just as he speaks to us. You know, you may not be here physically in person, but you're with us. Hey, we're with you. We love you. God is good. We've got a title this morning, and don't always have titles. Sometimes, you know, the title comes at the end. And you can make up your own title. The title I want to talk about this morning is the first Sunday of Advent, but the title I want to give you this morning is Just at the Right Time. Is that the right one we got there? Did I give you the play about with titles a little bit? Try and make them understandable. Not too cheesy. Anybody ever sat around a cheesy title? But just at the right time. How many of you ever been in a situation where something happens, something changes, and you realize, yeah, that was just the right time? I really believe is that God is a God of just at the right time. You know, you may receive something, somebody maybe call you, send you a text or someone like that just to encourage you over something. And you say, oh man, that came just at the right time, just when I needed it. Anybody ever experienced that? You know, that's because you've got people in your life who understand the kingdom of God and respond. And you hear something, it just comes to you just at the right time. Well, you know, Jesus came into this world just at the right time. Do you know that? He came into this world just at the right time. And if we read, you know, we start thinking about Advent and the beginning of this season and the run-up to Christmas, you know, reminding us of the coming of Christ on that first Christmas. Also, Advent should remind us that he is coming again. Now, we get ready for Christmas, don't we? Put a lot of attention in getting ready for Christmas, but how ready are we for him coming again? Let me just leave that thought with you there for a moment. I'm not really going to focus on that this morning, but I believe we should be the people who are living expecting Jesus Christ to come. Now, remembering the time, remembering seasons, and being ready for Jesus Christ to come again. And I hope you believe he's coming again. So I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, but the New King James starts this verse when the fullness of time had come. But the New Living starts, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his own very own children. Anybody ever read the scripture and think, wow? You know, you could say that in church. We wouldn't have a problem with it. If when we read something like, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Wow! And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. New King James on the end of that says, through Christ. It starts up, but when the right time had come, this Advent season, which is this run up to Christmas, you know, you could say coming up to the most important event in the church calendar, but then every event in the church calendar is important. You know, every Sunday we gather, I believe, is important. Now, some people may only go to church on Christmas, or they may only go to church at Easter, because they think it's just the right thing to do and it's a good thing to do. Of course it is. But you know, every day is a new day. And every day has purpose. Every day we should, I believe, be celebrating the goodness of God. But in this Advent season, which is the run-up to Christmas, it's one of the most important times in our Christian calendar. See, if Christ hadn't come into this world fulfilling prophecy of bringing God's redemptive plan for humanity, we'd still be living under the law with no way out. So he did something so powerful. God's people were living with this anticipation because of what they knew and what they'd heard the prophets speak and seen written down and recorded. They were living with anticipation. I'll tell you, I believe there's a sense that we need to be living with anticipation. Wake up on a Sunday morning and you look out, draw the curtains or pull the blinds or whatever you have to do, and with an anticipation, it's Sunday, I'm going to church. Not, oh, it's Sunday. Oh, I don't have to go to work. I could have another hour in bed. Got to go to church. But they were living with anticipation because there was prophecy not yet fulfilled. They knew that from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. They were living with this anticipation. Isaiah 61 and verse 1 says, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And it goes on with listing those other things which, of course, Christ came into this world. The Spirit of the Lord God was upon him. But then we get this event, if you like, you can read it recorded a lot in Luke. We'll be maybe looking at these scriptures over the next few weeks and reminding ourselves of what took place and why it took place. And there came this moment in time when the right time came. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. And when was it? It was just at the right time. You know, we sing that song, is it? God is never, never early, never late, just on time. Something like that, when I come to try and remember the songs we sing, I'm not always good. I can mix two or three songs together and two shall become one and all that sort of thing. They don't flow very well in a worship setting, but just at the right time. See, God is always on time. It's important that we have an understanding of God's time. So important that we have some sort of understanding of God's time. You say, don't know all the times and the seasons and how things are all going to pan out. But we have some understanding. You see world events take place. When you've got some understanding of God's timing, things can click in your thinking. And I hope they sort of spur you a little bit to think, maybe I need to be more aware of time. It's so important that we have some understanding of God's time, because he is coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to come on time. Coming on time. And so often, you see, we can be so consumed with our own time that we miss what God is doing. But not only what he's doing. See, when God is doing something, on the back of that, he has something for us to do. Because he's left us on this earth to be anticipating the time. So don't become so consumed with your own time that you miss what God is doing and what he has for you to do in the time in which we have. And I think we can so often become guilty of trading our time for his time. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. And I tell you, we need to be a people who recognize that, who celebrate it. You went around the Christmas time, you know, we can get so distracted from the time and what Christ did and what he did for us that we can miss out on so much of what he has for us. Because when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. It just at the right time, the New Living Translation says. See, if you weren't saved and this morning the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin and you opened your heart to Christ, it would be just at the right time. Just at the right time. And just at the right time, God would enter your life, fill you with his Holy Spirit, and you would become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And it'd be just at the right time. When you got saved. You know, you were convicted of your past. You got a revelation of Jesus, what he did for you on the cross, the price he paid, and you accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life. And just at the right time, he met with you and saved you and filled you with his Holy Spirit. That is so powerful. And you should never be the same again. You know, you may look the same when you woke up the next day and looked in the mirror, but on the inside, you were a new person. But it was just at the right time. See, just at the right time, there is hope. Just at the right time. Can you imagine? I sometimes think about this. We're not going to read the whole account in Luke's Gospel this morning, but I'd encourage you to read Luke's Gospel, you know, this season. Get it on the inside of you. Can you imagine the excitement in the hearts of those who understood God's timing? You know, a couple of thousand years ago, the angel Gabriel visits Mary, talks to her about what's going to happen to her. Pretty phenomenal, isn't it? Talks about what's happened to her cousin. That's pretty phenomenal. And the excitement in these people, I believe, must have been nigh on gone crazy. You know, you can't imagine Mary. Oh, well, Holy Spirit's going to visit me. Am I? Maybe. Nothing better going on. Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were as old as the hills. God's going to visit them. They're going to have a baby. Oh, well, you know, maybe. Can you imagine the excitement in the hearts of those who understood God's time when they started seeing some of these things take place and then click, 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 remember, prophetic words. Can you imagine the excitement when they got a revelation of the times in which they were living? What they were going to see in their generation? This first chapter of Luke, when Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias, who are both ancient but expecting. One of them is old and barren, and the other one is well past and advanced in years. The Bible talks about being righteous. Favored by God. You know, Elizabeth is barren. That means she's not going to have children. Zacharias is old, past the age, if you get what I mean. Get what I mean. You know, when one is old and one is barren, it takes a miracle. But you see, God knows who he can work with. This couple were upright before God and righteous. When God visits him, he's serving in the house of God. I believe God had his eye on this couple. Because he knew he had to do something on time. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord scan to and fro across the whole land that he might find, show his hand strong to those whose hearts are steadfast towards him. God is looking for people who understand time and the times and will connect with them. And God has had his eye on this couple. And Mary had this visitation from God. And the Son of God was planted in her womb. She gets excited about it and runs, the Bible says, in a hurry to somebody who she knows who will bear witness to the timings of God. You have to be so careful who you run to when God does a work in you, which is maybe a little bit miraculous. You need somebody who's going to encourage you. You need somebody who's going to believe in you. And she, the Bible says, she runs into the countryside where she's going to find them. And when she finds them and she turns up, it's like Elizabeth starts shouting. When she came in, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit filled her. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke with a loud voice. I believe she shouted from the house. And Mary starts singing. It's like revival. Can you imagine right there? These people who understood timings, and Mary turns up, you know, Elizabeth starts shouting, and Mary starts singing that, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Why were they doing this? Why were they doing this? One of the reasons was there's hope for what seems hopeless. Something was changing. Something was changing. Just at the right time, they knew the right time. And now there is hope for a situation which seemed totally hopeless. It had been years and years and years, and nothing had happened, nothing had changed, and waiting on the prophetic word to be fulfilled. And just at the right time, I tell you, there needs to be more shouting and singing in church. See, when the Holy Ghost turns up, there should be more shouting and more singing in the house of God and in the people of God because of what God is, what is taking place. You know, your praise and your worship does more than just fills and makes a lot of noise in the house. Touches the heavenly realm. We're not just being noisy. We're not just being excitable. When Elizabeth turns up, when Mary turns up in the house of Elizabeth, the Holy Ghost turns up, Elizabeth starts shouting and Mary starts singing. Why? Because here there is hope coming for what seems hopeless. Just at the right time, God sent his Son. Born of a woman, subject to the law, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, "Abba, Father." Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir through Jesus Christ. It's all ours. It's all ours as children of God, born again of the Spirit of God through Christ. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." It is finished. Remember, somebody went to see the movie The Passion once with somebody and said, oh, what a sad ending to a nice story. Oh, glory to God. He cries, it wasn't that it was finished, that was it. Oh no, oh, this wonderful thing, my life on this earth, all the things that have taken place is over, that's it, what a waste of my life on this earth, it's finished. No, he cried out, it is finished, because 3 days later he rose again. He rose again. He was stating that he had successfully paid the price. Paid the price in full. This hope that came 30-odd years earlier. He'd paid the price in full for every act of rebellion, past, present, and future. Once and for all. Isn't that powerful? That once and for all, it's amazing how we will think about things that took place and beat ourselves up about them, you know, and he's already taken care of it once and for all. Past, present, and future. Done. And everything he accomplished on the cross, everything he accomplished is ours to freely receive, enjoy, and live in every day. Freely receive. And how do we receive it? How do we receive it? By faith. For by faith, by grace, through faith, it's available to us. So everything he accomplished on the cross is ours, and it is finished. You know, he fully paid the price through his shed blood. Hanging on the cross. Paid the price in full for every act of rebellion, past, present, future. And that is everything he accomplished on the cross is available to you and I. Just at the right time. We are now children of God. Children of God, heirs of God, all of heaven, all his power is available to us. You see, I'm just an ordinary person sitting on a blue chair in a church, and it's an ordinary family with just regular people. But you're children of God, heirs according to the promises of God, all available to us. And, you know, we know that we are sons and daughters of God by the witness of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. And that we receive that by faith. It is sometimes it seems oversimple, but it is simple. Because just at the right time he came. See, in Ephesians, Paul speaks of where we used to be before Christ. The mess, if you like, we were in, the lifestyles we had, and the way we were just all screwed up on the inside and messed up spiritually, and all sorts of other ways too. And all that was messed up, but God. It says, but God. I love the way the scripture puts things and has all this stuff going on and can identify, if you like, where we are and what we're going through and what we have to face. Challenges of life sometimes, heartaches, grievances, all sorts of stuff goes on. But God. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Simple as that. And in that has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace, you have been saved. What a position we're in. And it's all because just in time, he came. It's not of yourself. It is a great leveler. You don't have to have a degree in theological studies. You don't have to have some title. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. If it was works, you could be boastful. Oh, I've got a degree in theological studies. I'm sorry if you have. Has anybody got a degree in theological studies, by the way? Because I maybe changed my tack a little bit. If you're watching, you maybe need to switch off for a moment. Dear, don't dig myself in a hole. Lest anyone should boast. Pride comes before a fall. See, put that all behind, out of the way. For you are his workmanship. You're his workmanship, you're individual, we already heard this morning before the foundation of time, we were in God's plan. You are his workmanship, created, not in a test tube, in Christ Jesus. You're created in Christ, not for just to look nice. Not just to feel good, but for good works. Good works. Now, good works in Christ are different to good works outside of Christ. Good works which he prepared, that means he's got them ready. That means he is expecting us to step into them, to take advantage of and use what he has prepared for us. When you prepare something for somebody, you expect them to come and take hold of it and start doing something. If somebody, you prepare a meal for somebody in your house, you don't expect them just to come along there and look at it and say, oh, that looks good, and walk out the door. You expect for them to sit down and tuck in. And so he is, these good works, this which he has for us in Christ, created for us, he has prepared for us beforehand. Not just last thought. Before the foundation of time. He knew you. He's appointed you. He's prepared for you. He has his eye on you. So he has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. That means not just walk over them, but walk them out as part of your daily life as a child of Christ, child of God. And he's prepared those, I believe, for you to walk in just in time. And as you walk in them, the just in times will start manifesting. If you never walk in them, these just in times, which he has for you, you're going to miss out. And it's going to come on. There will be people in your world who will miss out because you don't walk in that which he has for you, prepared for you to walk in, and the just in times won't take place. So if we just sit back and don't do anything, we just sit back and say, well, it's just my Christian life is just about me. Take care of me. Look after me. It's just me. And as long as I'm okay, that's going to be fine. not only you are going to miss out, but the people he has placed in your world are going to miss out because you're not walking in what he's prepared for you to walk in. And so they're going to miss their just-in times. Do you hear what I'm saying? So just in time, you're on this earth. You weren't born in the last century. Well, some of you were born in the last century, but you know, hear what I'm saying. You're not living in the last century. Are we? We're living in the century. We're living in the day in which we're living in. And if you understand times, you'll believe and you'll understand you're living in the right time. Well, I wish I'd lived then. I wish I'd lived then. Heard somebody say, come on, I was listening to yesterday on the radio, it was something they were talking about, you know, the 70s, they were the years. Well, if you've lived in the 70s, you wouldn't have wanted to see me dressed in what I wore in the 70s, that's for sure. I might show you a photograph one day, but, you know, you wouldn't want to. You'd be crying. See, just in the right time, just at the right time, you're on this earth, created in Christ through Christ. Just at the right time. You're unique. Just at the right time. You see, we need, I believe, to get our eyes on what he has prepared for us to bring hope to this world. Get our eyes off of ourselves so much and get our eyes on what he has prepared for us to bring hope for this world. You know, Ephesians 2 doesn't talk about, you know, living your life for yourself. It talks about living your life and walking in that which he's prepared for you. I believe there are so many who are adopted heirs through Christ who live totally hopeless lives. You're a child of God. He has paid a price and prepared things for you to live in. And in preparing things for you to live in, he's prepared things for you to, if you like, live out. Because what he has prepared for you is not just about you. It's to bring hope. Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You're a child of God. He's paid a price and prepared things for you to live in. You are created in Christ to live Christ. You're not created in Christ just to sit back in a comfy chair and think, this is nice. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've got a home in heaven. Glad I'm secure. See, through Christ, you're placed in the body of Christ. There's no room, if you like, for lone rangers. In Christ, you're placed in the body of Christ. And this treasure, Bible says, we have a treasure which is in our earthen vessel, in ourselves. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 6 through 7 says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So that which is within us must flow out of us. Out of your innermost being can flow rivers of living water. When you communicate, when you're around people and, you know, rivers of living water, the life of Christ should be flowing from us, not just on a Sunday morning in church, not just around the church family, but everywhere. One of the disadvantages of the 21st century in which we live, a lot of people just work on their own. You know, you work at home, there's less interaction with people on the job. But wherever we are, this treasure which is within us must flow from us. See, through Christ, we are carrying hope, but not just for ourselves. We are carrying it for the world around us. See, why would God prepare good works for us, for me, for you, if we're not going to connect with his time? He's prepared things for us to connect with his time. See, too often, in the days in which we live, we don't have time for the right time. How many times do I say, oh, I don't have time? But that is, maybe that's my time. That's my understanding of time. But just at the right, God has this just at the right time. See, time is precious, isn't it? And I don't believe God wants us to trade our time for his time. It's important that we live balanced lives. And, you know, we hear maybe a lot of talk about living life of balance, and that's important. But where's our scale? What are we balancing it against? We sung this morning, we are not without power. We're not without power. You see, we're carrying something. You know, and we need to know that when in our timing, in the times in which we live, and that God is on time. You know, we need to believe that when we turn up, if we understand the timings of God, when we turn up, hope shows up. Do you believe that? That you are a carrier of hope? If you're a child of God? See, when the right time came, God sent his son. Well, let's go back to this week and not last week. When the right time came, God sent his son. I was going to preach about Elisha and Elijah just now for a minute. When the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that we could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are a child, God has made you his heir through Christ Jesus. See, when you show up, hope shows up. Because we are heirs of God, hope shows up. And in this season of Advent, as we go into the run-up to Christmas and all the stuff we hear about Christmas, you know, remember that when Christ came into this world, it was hope showing up. Hope coming to a world which was in chaos and brings order to it, and God puts things in order. And everything that was achieved on the cross is available to each and every one of us. So right at the time that when we show up, we need to believe that hope arrives when we show up. Go on, this season, be a life giver. Be someone who demonstrates hope. Because we live in a hopeless situation sometimes. You know, how many of you know there's more negative news than there is positive news? God is looking for men and women who get over themselves and start recognizing who we are as children of God. Men and women, young and old, with a voice. To allow hope to flow from us, life to flow from us, rivers of living water come from within us because of what he has placed in us. I want you to stand just for a moment this morning as we close this morning and just meditate just for a moment. Just think about what God did for you when he died on a cross for you, how that has positioned you and how you received it through faith. The grace of God you received. And you have benefited from it. And in us benefited from that, the Bible says that for by grace we have been saved through faith. And that is available to everyone. It's not about the degree in theology, which nobody have got anyway. It's not about positions and titles. It's not about something that we can boast in. It's about something that we are recipients of, by the grace of God. And if you're born again this morning, you're a child of God. And all of heaven is available to you. So you're a carrier of hope, not a carrier of hopelessness. You know, sometimes you meet somebody and they're just saying, oh. You got people in your world like that? Who are, oh dear. You don't know what's going on in my life. If you had my life. Now you carry the life of Christ. You carry the life of the power of heaven. Now we are not without power. And hope arrives when we show up. I want to encourage you this morning that you're a child of God. That through the hope that came into this world when Jesus Christ was born, I hope you live this season and your days with the excitement that took place in Elizabeth and Zachariah's house when Mary turned up and the presence of God showed up, the Holy Spirit turned up, and Elizabeth started shouting, and Mary started singing. Because life was there in that place, and they recognized that it wasn't just about them, but it was for the world around them and those yet to come. Because they understood the timings. And it was just at the right time. So I want to encourage you this morning to walk out your walk, recognizing that when you open your mouth and allow the Spirit of God to work in you and flow through you and operating in what God has prepared for you because of who you are in Christ, that just at the right time, God will work with you. Do you believe He can do that? Because He's a God who understands times. And when we understand times, what He has done for us in the times in which we live, today is the day. And maybe right now is the moment and the time when God wants to do something significant. Maybe you're here this morning, you see, I need God to work in my life. You say, I'm here this morning, but I want what He has prepared for me. How He has positioned me to align with the situation I'm facing right now in my life. And if you like His timing to collide and see the power of God manifest. If you're here this morning and you need to see the timing of God manifest in your life, maybe you're not used to responding and coming to the front and standing here, but today's the day. So why not make now the time for God to do something in your life? That what He has put in you, heirs of God, maybe become a reality in a situation that you're facing. Are we talking to anybody this morning? If you need us to pray with you, mix our faith with your faith. Call on the timing of God to do something in your life. Take this moment. Just come and stand here right in the front. We believe the power of God is here. The presence of God is here. I want to pray with you. See that change take place in your life. Come on, don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. Let's be open this morning and allow God to do what He wants to do. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this time. Is there anybody else? Maybe God's speaking to you about something. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't even know that you can put your hand on your heart and say that you're born again of the Spirit of God, that you're a Christian. Now is the time. Is anybody here this morning said, I can't put my hand on my heart and say I'm a Christian, so I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. Is anybody here? I don't want to go without this. I believe without this giving you an opportunity. Worship team is just going to lead us for a few moments. As they do, just start to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just raise your hands above your head. Allow Him to come and minister to you. If you want to just join us here at the front in these few moments, just please don't miss this opportunity.